United States Armed Forces Radio Service. Presents the Theater Guild on the air. Every day, everywhere, every life is introduced to drama. Some of it we experience personally. Much of it we experience in our reading, in our viewing, in our listening. So it is that the Theater Guild on the air each week brings you an interesting dramatic presentation and a cast composed of prominent stage, screen, and radio personalities. Now, here is Elliot Reed.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. To all of us associated with the Theater Guild on the air, this is a moment of considerable satisfaction. For tonight, we present Alfred Lunt and Lynn Fontanne in the American radio premiere of George Bernard Shaw's comedy masterpiece, Pygmalion. For the theme of his comedy, Shaw reached back to the mythological tale of Pygmalion and Galatea, a childhood story, you remember, of the sculptor who brought a statue of a girl to life. In his play, Mr. Shaw, most ably abetted by Miss Fontanne and Mr. Lunt, shows us not a statue come to life, but a Cockney flower girl who was made to bloom by a gentleman. So, presto, we raise the curtain on Pygmalion, adapted for this occasion by Kenyon Nicholson and directed by Homer Fickett. If you heard someone say, "I found a pail in a blue currant oyster," well, you might suspect that you were in Brooklyn. And if you heard someone say, "He went that away, pard," well, you'd place him from Texas. Just so, you'd know that you were in London if you heard someone say,
"Varlet, varlet, something's a bunch, fire flare up a poor girl."
And London is exactly where we are. And the speaker is Eliza Doolittle. The time is 11 o'clock on a night in May in the early 1900s. And Eliza has filled her flower basket at the great Covent Garden Market to sell when the theaters let out. But a sudden thunderstorm sends everyone running for shelter. Eliza joins a little group who huddle under the portico of a nearby church.
Ah, flare, mister. How about some nice fresh violets?
Violets? Not likely. Now, if it's umbrellas you were shitting.
How you?
Yes, trade is slow for Eliza tonight. All anyone cares about is flagging a cab and getting home. In particular, two ladies in handsome evening dress, a mother and a daughter, who are peering out anxiously into the rain from the shelter of the steps. They see a young man come splashing towards them.
There he is, Clara.
Mother! Clara!
Oh, there's not a cab to be had for love or money. I went all the way to Charing Cross.
Ah, we could stay here all night. There's next to nothing on. Do try Trafalgar Square.
Go on, dear.
You'll find one.
And do hurry for one.
All right, I'm going. But I shall simply get soaked.
That ain't Freddy. Look where you're going, dear.
Terribly sorry. Hey, excuse me.
There's manners for you. Two bunches of violets trod in the mud.
How do you know that my son's name is Freddy?
How is your son, is he? Well, if you'd done your duty by him as a mother should, he'd know better than to spoil a poor girl's flowers and run away without paying.
I heard you call him Freddy. Now, don't try to deceive me.
Who's trying to deceive you? I call him Freddy or Charlie, just the same as you might yourself if he was talking to a stranger and wished to be pleasant.
But now we observe another figure in the group, a tall gentleman in a raincoat who leans against a pillar writing in a notebook. However, Liza is completely unaware of him.
Flowers? Violets? Nice flare for your button, old Captain.
I'm sorry, miss. I'm afraid I've no small change.
I can change up to 2 shillings for you, Captain. Do buy a flare off a poor girl.
Up to 2 shillings for you, Captain.
Hey, yes? What's that?
Buy a flare off a poor girl.
Oh, what's taking down my words for? I ain't done nothing wrong. I'm a respectable girl. Help me. I have a right to sell flares, I am.
I see. What's the trouble?
What's me, kid? It's a plain clothes copy. In with a notebook.
Oh, please, sir, don't let them take me in. You don't know what it means to me. They'll take away my character and drive me on the streets for speaking to a gentleman.
You, sir, I beg your pardon.
Yes?
Really, if you are a detective, you need not begin protecting me against molestation by young women until I ask you.
No, right, you take away my character. My character's the same to me as any lady's.
There. Who's hurt you, you silly girl? Do I look like a policeman? How do you come to be up this way, so far east? You were born in Lissom Grove.
Oh, what home is there in my leaving Lissom Grove? It wasn't fit for a pig to live in.
Gee, Miss Green, you ain't a copper. What call have you to know about people what never meddled with you? You're a blooming busybody, that's what I say.
And how are all your people down at Hoxton?
Who told you more people come from Hoxton?
Never you mind, they did. May I ask you, sir, do you do this for your living at a music hall?
Well, I've thought of that, perhaps I shall someday.
Can you tell me where I come from?
Yes, Cheltenham, Harrow, Cambridge, and India.
Yeah, quite right.
Sarah, look, the rain has stopped. We can walk the motorbus.
Epsom, unmistakably.
What?
I beg your pardon, I didn't mean to say that out loud.
Very curious. I was brought up in Large Lady Park near Epsom. Come, Sarah. Such an interesting man.
Good night, teacher.
How'd you do it, may I ask?
Simple phonetics. The science of speech. That's my profession. Now, you can spot an Irishman or a Yorkshireman by his brogue, but I can place any man within 6 miles. I can place him within 2 miles in London, sometimes within two streets.
Extraordinary.
Why, did people like that?
Students of similar dialects and I...
Everyone, you know Colonel Pickering, the author of Spoken Sanskrit?
I am Colonel Pickering. Who are you?
Henry Higgins, author of Higgins' Universal Alphabet.
Higgins! I came from India to meet you.
I was going to India to meet you.
To be ashamed of himself, unmanly coward. Let him mind his own business and leave a poor girl alone.
Woman, cease detestable boo-hooing instantly. Remember that you're a human being with a soul and the divine gift of articulate speech, and don't sit there crooning like a bilious pigeon.
Oh.
Write that down.
Listen to him.
Oh, quite remarkable. If one didn't know your reputation, Higgins.
Figuring, you see this creature with her curbstone English? Would you believe that in 3 months I could pass her off as a duchess at an ambassador's reception? I could even get her a place as a lady's maid or a shop assistant, which requires even better English.
What's that? Why?
Yes, you squashed cabbage leaf, you incarnate insult to the English language. I could pass you off as the Queen of Sheba. What do you say to a bite of supper, Pickering?
Yeah, right, you are.
You buy a fly card, gentlemen. I'm short for me lodging.
Lie, you told him you could change 2 shillings.
Ah, you ought to be stuck with nails, you ought. Hey, I'll take the old blooming basket for sixpence.
Colonel, I stand rebuked for pharisaic want of charity. Here, girl, hold up your basket. And now, good night.
2 shillings? 4, 10 and 6 pence? Ooh, it's another shilling.
Hello there. I say this, where are the 2 ladies that were here?
Oh, Freddy, they walked to the bus when the rain stopped.
And left me with a cap on my hand.
Oh, never mind, young man, I'm going home in a taxi. Your driver take me basket.
What's this? You're taking a cab?
Oh, taxi fare ain't no object to me, Charlie.
Pardon me, where to?
Buckingham Palace.
Buckingham Palace?
Yes, don't you know where that is, where the king lives? Good night, Freddy, don't let me keep you standing there.
Well, I'm...
Hear it? It's a device that I worked out originally for the training staff of the Vienna State Opera. It reproduces the exact number of vibrations in any sound issuing from the human larynx.
Very amazing. I don't know when I've spent such a morning, Higgins. No doubt of it, science is mistress in this household.
Ably abetted by my housekeeper, Mrs. Pierce.
There is no Mrs. Higgins?
No, nor likely to be. I find that the moment I let a woman into my life, she becomes jealous, exacting, suspicious, and a damned nuisance.
Well, I'm not married, but I must admit I'm susceptible.
Oh, I'm seasoned, Pickering. I've taught English to actresses and millionaires, the best-looking women in the world, and they might as well be blocks of wood. I might as well be a block of wood.
Mr. Higgins.
Yes, Mrs. Pierce.
A young woman asked to see you, sir.
What does she want?
Well, sir, she says you'll be glad to see her when you know what she's come about.
Is she an interesting accent?
Something dreadful, sir, really.
Good. Bring her in, Mrs. Pierce.
Well, they used to say, sir.
You know, there's rather a bit of luck, Pickering. We'll set her talking, and I'll show you how I make records.
This is a young woman, sir.
Good morning.
But why, this is the girl I jotted down last night. She's no use. I've got all of the records I want of the Lissom Grove lingo. Be off with you. I don't want you.
Don't you be so saucy. You ain't heard what I've come for yet. Did you tell him I come in a taxi, ma'am?
Nonsense, girl. What do you think a gentleman like Mr. Higgins cares what you come in?
Ooh, ain't we proud? We ain't above giving lessons, not him. I heard him say so. Well, I've come to have lessons, I have. And pay for them, too. Make no mistake.
Well, now, what do you expect me to say to you?
You was a gentleman. You'd ask me to sit down, Offie.
Pickering, shall we ask this baggage to sit down, or shall we throw her out of the window?
Ah, I won't be called a baggage.
No, he didn't mean that.
Won't you sit down, please? Take this chair.
Oh, I don't mind if I do, Captain.
What is it you want, miss?
I want to be a lady in a flash shop instead of selling on the curb in Tottenham Court Road. But they won't take me unless I can talk more genteel. He said he could teach me. Well, here I am, ready to pay him. I'm not asking any favour.
No, Pickering, this is almost irresistible.
Yeah, I thought just come off it when you saw a chance of getting back a bit of what you chucked at me last night. Confidentially, you'd had a drop too much, hadn't you?
What?
I'll pay you a shilling a time. And for teaching me my own language.
Pickering, do you realize what she's offering me? About two-fifths of what she earns every day for a lesson. That's enormous. It works out as fully equivalent to 50 or 60 pounds per lesson from a millionaire.
60 pounds? What are you talking about? I never offered you 60 pounds. Why would I get 60 pounds?
Oh, don't cry, silly girl. Nobody's going to touch your money.
Somebody's going to touch you with a broomstick if you don't stop sniveling. Yes. Here, now use this handkerchief. Now remember, that's your handkerchief and that's your sleeve. Now don't mistake one for the other if you wish to become a lady in a shop.
Higgins, I'm interested. What about your claim last night that you could pass her off at an ambassador's reception? I'll bet you all the expenses of the experiment you can't do it, and I'll pay for the lesson.
Ah, you are real good. Thank you, Captain.
What do you say, Higgins?
I tell you, I'm extraordinarily tempted. Look at her. She's so deliciously low. So outrageously begrimed with the dirt of all four seasons on Tottenham Court Road.
Oh, I'm dirty. I wash my hands and face before I come, I do.
What do you say, Higgins?
How long do you give me?
6 months.
Done. In 6 months and less, if she has a good ear and a quick tongue, I'll take her anywhere and pass her off as anything. We'll start today. Now, this moment. What's your name, girl?
Martha Doolittle.
Mrs. Pierce, take her away and clean her. You scouring powder that won't come off in any other way. Now, take all the clothes off and burn them. Now, ring up one of the smart shops for some new dresses. Wrap her in brown paper until they come.
No, gentlemen, you're not to talk of such things. I'm a good girl, I am. I know what the likes of you are, I do. I never asked you for no dresses.
Excuse me, Higgins, but if this girl is to put herself in your hands for an experiment in teaching, she must understand thoroughly what she's doing. Now, if you'll allow me. Miss Doolittle, I...
Ah!
Yeah, that's all you'll ever get out of her life. Ah!
Oh, it's no use explaining. Give her orders.
Really, sir, you can't walk over everybody like this.
I walk over everybody. Why, I never had the slightest intention of walking over anyone. All I propose...
But what about her family, sir? Or suppose she's married?
Gah!
Yeah, the girl very properly says, gah.
He's married. Me.
By George, Eliza, the streets will be strewn with the bodies of men shooting themselves for your sake before I've done with you.
Well, I'm leaving his office. Chumpy is. I don't want no barmies teaching me.
That's right, girl. You go home to your mother and tell her to take better care of you.
I ain't got no mother. They told me at home I was big enough to earn my own living and turn me out. What turned me out was Miss Six Stepmother.
Well, there, Animal, what on earth is all the fuss about? The girl doesn't belong to anybody. This is no use to anybody but me.
Oh, you are a brute.
Now, look here, Eliza. You are going to live here for the next 6 months learning how to speak beautifully. If you're good and do what you're told, you shall sleep in a proper bedroom and have lots to eat and money to buy chocolates and ride in taxis. If you are naughty and idle, you will sleep in the back kitchen among the black beetles and be walloped by Mrs. Pierce with a broomstick. At the end of 6 months, You shall go to Buckingham Palace in a carriage, beautifully dressed. If the king finds out that you are not a lady, you will be taken by the police to the Tower of London, where your head will be cut off as a warning to other presumptuous flower girls. If you are not found out, you shall have a present of 7 and 6 pence to start life with as a lady in a shop. If you refuse this offer, you will be the most ungrateful, wicked girl, and the angels will weep for you.
You're a great bully, you are. I won't stay here if I don't like it. I don't let nobody wallop me. I never asked to go to Buckingham Palace. I didn't. I wouldn't go near the king. Not if he was going to cut me head off. I was never in trouble with the police. Not me.
You don't understand the gentleman. Come with me.
I've always been a good girl. I don't owe nobody nothing and I won't be put upon. I have my feelings as same as anybody else, and that's straight.
You know, Pickering, that girl has clearly got hold of the most extraordinary ideas about me. Here I am, a shy, diffident sort of man. And yet she's firmly persuaded that I'm an arbitrary, overbearing, bossing kind of person. I can't account for it.
Ow! I've never seen a bathroom like this. No wonder the richest the clean washes the treat for him.
You can make it as warm as you like. Now take your things off.
You sure I won't catch me dead? I knew a woman did it once every Saturday night and she died of it.
May I come in, sir?
Yes, Mrs. Pierce.
If you please, Mr. Higgins, there's trouble beginning already. There's a dustman outside. Alfred Doolittle says you have his daughter here.
I say, send the blackguard in.
He may not be a blackguard.
Nonsense, of course he's a blackguard, but he may have an interesting accent.
Oh, very well, sir. Oh, may I put Eliza in that Japanese kimono you brought? I really can't put her back into her old things after the bath, and the new things haven't come yet.
Anything you like.
Yes, sir.
Higgins, excuse the straight question, but I've been thinking. Are you a man of good character where women are concerned?
Have you ever met a man of good character where women are concerned?
Come, you know what I mean. It's understood that no advantage is to be taken of the girl's position.
Her sacred, I assure you.
Doolittle, sir.
Yeah. Professor Higgins?
Yeah, good morning. Sit down.
Thank you, Governor. I come about a very serious matter, Governor.
Brought up in Hounslow. Mother Welsh, I should think.
Aye?
What do you want, Doolittle?
My daughter. That's what I want.
Well,
see?
I'm glad to see you have some spark of family feeling left. She's upstairs. Take her away at once.
What?
Well, you don't suppose anybody else wants her, do you?
Now, look here, Governor. Is this reasonable? Is it fairity to take advantage of a man like that? The girl belongs to me. You got her. Well, where do I come in?
You sent her here on purpose. This is a plan, a plot to extort money by threats. The police shall pick you up, Alfred.
Have I asked you for a blast riding? I'll leave it to the gentleman. Have I said a word about money? And I take me five oath I ain't seen the girl these 2 months past.
Then how'd you know she was here?
I'll tell you, Governor, if you'll only let me get a word in. I'm willing to tell you. I'm waiting to tell you. I'm wanting to tell you.
Pickering, this chap has a certain natural gift of rhetoric. Observe the rhythm of his native wood notes while...
Oh, please, Higgins. Go ahead, Doolittle.
Thank you, Governor. Here's the story. I was taking me new time refreshment in a pub in Drury Lane when in comes Liza's landlady and told me what had happened. She said Liza sent a taxi back for some things. A few snapshots, a trifle of jewelry, a canary bird in cage. But she didn't want no clothes. What was I to think from that, Governor, I ask you? What was my feelings and duty as a father?
So you came to rescue her from worse than death?
Mm-hmm. Just so, Governor. That's right.
Ah, then why'd you let them send her luggage if you intended to take her away? Plain blackmail, Mrs. Pierce.
Yes, sir.
Eliza's father has come to take her away. Give her to him immediately.
He can't take her away, Mr. Higgins. You told me to burn her clothes.
That's right. I can't carry the girl through the streets like a blooming monkey, can I? I put it to you.
Well, that's reasonable.
Right, so let's discuss the old thing. You and me is men of the world, ain't we?
Oh, men of the world, are we? You'd better go, Mrs. Pierce.
I think so, indeed, sir.
I think you ought to know, Mr. Doolittle, that Mr. Higgins' intentions are strictly honorable.
Of course they are. And to oblige a gentleman like him, I'd do a great deal, I do assure you. So I'll put it to you straight. For I can see that you're a straight sort of gentleman. What's a £5 note to you? And what's it largely to me?
£5? Do you mean to say that you're offering...
Have you no morals, man?
Don't
look at it that way. What am I, Governor Spoke? I ask you, what am I? I'm one of the undeserving poor. Guess what? Now think of what that means to a man. It means he's up against middle-class morality all the time. If there's anything going and I put in for a bit of it, it's always the same answer. You're undeserving, so you can't have it. But my needs is just as great as the most deserving widow that ever got money out of 6 different charities in 1 week for the death of the same husband. I don't eat less hearty than him, and I drink a lot more. I want a bit of amusement, because I'm a thinking man. I want cheerfulness and a song and a band when I feel low. Well, they charge me just as much for everything as they charge the deserving. Therefore, I ask you, as 2 gentlemen, is £5 unreasonable? I put it to you, and I'll leave it to you. I ain't pretending to deserve it. I'm undeserving, and I mean to go on being undeserving. The £5 would be just one good spree for myself and the missus, giving pleasure to ourselves and employment to others. You couldn't spend it better.
Pickering, if we listen to this man another minute, we shall have no convictions left. Let's give him 10.
No, Governor. £10 is a lot of money. It makes a man feel prudent-like. And then, goodbye to happiness. You give me what I ask you, Governor.
They're waiting. Hello.
Morning, miss.
Dan, don't you know your own daughter?
Blimey, it's Eliza.
The Japanese dress is his, but the flowers in me here is my own idea. Don't I look silly?
Eliza, by Jove, you...
Now, Mr. Higgins, please don't say anything to make the girl conceited about herself.
Oh, yes, quite right, Mrs. Pierce. You look extremely silly,
well,
Eliza.
Look all right with me, Atom.
Well, I never thought she'd clean up as good-looking as that. Oh, she's a credit to me, ain't she?
Doolittle, here's the sum in question.
Oh, thank you kindly, Governor.
Oh, he come here to touch her, did he? Disgraceful.
Now, you must come regularly to see your daughter. She'll need a father's advice, you know. My brother is a clergyman. He could help you in your talks with her.
Certainly, I'll come, Governor. Later on, perhaps, when we work, don't tie me up. Meantime, Eliza, you just do what the gentleman tells you, or you'll hear from me. Goodbye, Governor.
This way. You won't see him again in an hour. You'd as soon you set a bulldog on him as a clergyman.
Now, Eliza, here's your father.
He's a disgrace to me, driving a municipal dust cart and going about taking money out of people's pockets and putting it into his own. Aren't you going to call me Miss Doolittle anymore, Captain?
I beg your pardon, Miss Doolittle. It was a slip of the tongue.
I don't mind. It sounded so genteel.
Eliza, the new things have come for you to try on.
Higgins, we have taken on a stiff job.
Pickering, we have.
Is there some curiosity as to what Higgins' lessons to Eliza were like? Very well, listen.
Now, Eliza, repeat after me. Hurricanes hardly ever happen in Hampshire.
Hurricanes hardly ever happen in Hampshire.
No.
Hurricanes hardly ever happen in Hampshire.
There now, if you drop that H again, you shall be dragged around the room 3 times by the hair of your head.
I can't hear no difference except that it sounds more genteel when you say it.
Well, if you can hear the difference, then what the devil are you weeping for? Now, let's have some tea. By the way, when you go shopping today, buy me a necktie to go with that new suit of mine. You can choose the color.
I have already. It's in your top drawer.
And that is the sort of ordeal poor Eliza goes through every day for weeks. Now, Higgins thinks it is time for her to make a test appearance in polite society. We go to the beautiful apartment of the Dowager Mrs. Higgins on the Thames Embankment.
Mother. Oh,
Henry, what are you doing here today? It's my at home day. Go away at once.
Oh, bother.
You promised not to come when I have guests. They stop coming whenever they meet you.
Well, I'm sorry, but I came on purpose. That's a job you must do for me. You're going to meet Eliza today.
Your flower girl? She's coming here.
She'll be here soon, in a taxi. Colonel Pickering has come with me to tell you what we want. Oh, come on in.
I hope we haven't intruded, Mrs. Higgins.
You haven't, Colonel. Perhaps you can tell me the exact state of this mysterious research of Henry's.
Well, it's getting on famously. I've been living at Henry's house for the experiment, and
you see, Pickering and I have a sort of bet that I'll pass her off as a duchess at an ambassador's reception. Oh, you know, it's the most absorbing thing I've taken. She's quite filled our lives.
They're always talking, Eliza.
Inventing Eliza.
Inventing Eliza.
Oh, inventing new Eliza. You know, she has the most extraordinary quickness of ears.
I assure you, my dear, it's not quick as
hell. I'm sorry. When Pickering starts shouting, nobody can get a word in edgeways.
Henry, on what terms have you engaged this girl? Is she a servant at your house? If not, what is she?
Well, useful. She knows where my things are, remembers my appointments, and so forth. What difference does it make?
Oh, Henry, you simply don't think, do you?
As if I ever stopped thinking about the girl. I'm literally worn out watching her lips and her teeth and her tongue, not to mention her soul, which is the quaintest of the lot. Anyway, today we'll try her out and see what progress she's made.
My dear boy, I have told you I have guests.
Oh, that's all right. She has strict orders as to her behavior. She's to keep two subjects, the weather and everybody's health.
Oh, dear, there they are. Now, Aunt Smithick is in the kitchen. Excuse me. In here. This is my son, Henry, Mrs. Ainsford Hill.
Oh, your celebrated son. I've so longed to meet you, Professor Higgins.
Go ahead.
My daughter, Clara.
How do you do? This is exciting.
Well, I've seen you somewhere before. I haven't the ghost of a notion where, but I've heard your voice. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. You'd better sit down.
I'm sorry to say that my celebrated son has no manners. You mustn't mind him. That's Colonel Pickering by the window.
How do you do?
And this is Mr. Freddie Hill.
How do you do?
I'll take my oath I've met you somewhere before, Freddie.
Oh, no. Couldn't have.
Where was it? That must be Eliza. Will you excuse me?
Henry is the life and soul of the meetings of the Royal Academy of Science, but he's really rather trying on more commonplace occasions.
Oh, I much prefer people like him who come right out and say what they think. I mean to say...
Miss Eliza Doolittle. My mother, Eliza.
How do you do? Mrs. Higgins. Mr. Higgins told me I might come.
Right. I'm very glad to see you.
Colonel Pickering, is it not?
Yes.
Mrs. Hill and Mrs. Hill and Freddie.
I've certainly had the pleasure, Miss Doolittle, though I can't think where.
How do you do?
Let me move this chair for you, Miss Doolittle.
By George, yes, the storm at Covent Garden.
What did you say, dear?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Isn't this nice? Yes. Isn't it?
By Jove. Yes, here we are.
Will it rain, do you think, Miss Doolittle? The shallow depression in the west of these islands is likely to move slowly in an easterly direction. There are no indications of any great change in the barometrical situation.
How awfully funny.
What is wrong with that, young man? I bet I got it right.
Killing.
I'm sure I hope it won't turn cold. There's so much influenza about. My aunt died of influenza. So they said. Well, it is my belief they'd done the old woman in.
Done her in?
Yes, Lord love you. Why should she die of influenza? She came through diphtheria right enough the year before. I saw her with my own eyes. Fairly blue with it she was. They all thought she was dead. But my father, he kept ladling gin down her throat. Till she came too so sudden, she came too so sudden, she bit the bowl off the spoon. Mate, What call would a woman with that strength in her have to die of influenza? What's become of her new straw hat that should have come to me? Somebody pinched it. And what I say is, them as pinched it, done her in. What does doing her in mean?
Oh, that's the new small talk. To do a person in means to kill them.
But you sure don't believe your aunt was killed. Do I not? Them she lived with would have killed her for a hat pin. Let alone a hat. Can't have been right for your father to force spirits on her folk like that. Oh, gin was mother's milk to her. Besides, he poured so much of it down his own throat, he knew the good of it. You mean he drank, my word, something chronic. On the best, as you might say, from time to time. When he was out of work, my mother used to give him fourpence and tell him to go out and not come back until he drank himself cheerful and loving-like. There's lots of women have to make their husbands drunk to make them fit to live with. Here, what are you sniggering at?
The new small talk. You do it so awfully well.
If I was doing it proper, what was you laughing at? Have I said anything I oughtn't?
Not at all, Miss Doolittle.
That's a mercy anyhow. What I always say is...
to be 5 o'clock.
Oh, so pleased to have met everyone. Goodbye, all.
Goodbye.
Are you walking across the park, Miss Doolittle? If so,
Walk? Not bloody likely. I'm going in a taxi.
Higgins, there are less than 3 weeks left before your 6 months are up. Now, if you wish, I can have 3 invitations to a reception for His Royal Highness. It will be at the Danish Embassy in a fortnight.
Mrs. Pierce, make appointments with the dressmakers, the hairdressers, the lingerie women, the manicurists, everyone. Eliza is going. What's taking Eliza so long in the cloakroom? We must go up.
Don't be nervous, Higgins.
The maestro!
Now, what the devil?
You remember me, the maestro?
I do not.
But I am your pupil. Your first and best and greatest pupil. You teach me phonetic. I am little Melchior, the marvelous boy. I speak 32 languages. Oh, you cannot forget me.
Melchior, what are you doing here among all these swells?
I am interpreter. I am indispensable at these great international parties. For instance, just now in the ballroom, there was a gentleman from one of the legations who was pretending that he cannot speak English.
Pretending?
He could not deceive me. This Balkan diplomat is actually the son of an East London watchmaker. He dare not utter a word of English without betraying his true origin to me. I shall see you later, maestro.
I say, can we find out Eliza Higgins?
He's good, bless them.
You'll see. There she is, and positively radiant. Eliza!
Sorry to keep you waiting.
No, not at all. Are you ready to go and meet our hostess?
Pickering is your escort. I'll follow in a moment.
Are you nervous, Eliza? I feel exactly as I felt before my first battle.
Oh, it's not the first time for me, Colonel. I've done this 50 times, hundreds of times. In my little piggery in Drury Lane. Daydreams. I'm in a dream now. In the cloakroom, other women stared at me. And an old lady said my voice reminded her of the Marchioness of Salisbury.
Eliza.
Please, promise me not to let Professor Higgins wake me. For if he does, I shall forget everything and talk as I used to in Drury Lane. Give me your arm, Colonel.
Your excellent friend.
Wonderful.
This is Miss Doolittle.
How did you do, my dear?
How do you do?
Charming. Charming. I adore your gown. She will make a sensation, Colonel. Is she your adopted daughter?
Most kind of you, Your Excellency, to invite her for me. Come, Eliza.
Well met, sir.
Yes, Your Excellency.
Find out all about that girl.
The Count of Gothenburg, Miss Eliza Doolittle.
How do you do?
And Sir Roger Taggart.
How do you do, Sir Roger?
Yes, Professor Higgins. Tell me all about that wonderful young lady, Professor.
What wonderful young lady, Your Excellency.
Oh, you know very well what is happening in that ballroom. People are standing on their chairs to look at her.
Your Excellency.
Oh, better make sure. Have you found out about the Doolittle lady?
All about her. She is a fraud.
A fraud?
No, yes. Her name cannot be Doolittle.
Why not?
Because that is an English name, and she is not English. Only titled foreigners who have been taught to speak English speak it perfectly.
Well, if she is not English, what is she?
Hungarian.
Did you speak to her in Hungarian?
I did. And she replied very cleverly, "Please speak to me in English. I do not understand French." She pretends not to know the difference between Hungarian and French. Impossible. She knows both.
Yeah, what makes you so sure?
Instinct, maestro. Only the Magyar race can produce those eyes, that figure, that air of divine right. She is a princess.
I say she's an ordinary London girl taught to speak by an expert. I place her in Drury Lane.
Oh, you are mad, maestro.
Oh, of course, I agree with the Baron. She must be a princess, at least.
I say, Higgins.
Will you excuse me, Your Excellency?
Step over here, old man, and look in the ballroom. Ah. She has won your bet 10 times over.
Oh, great Scott. She's dancing with His Royal Highness.
What a night. What a triumph.
Rubbish. Silly tomfoolery. I tell you, Pickering, I create no more artificial duchesses. Eliza, turn out the light when you go up and tell Mrs. Pierce I'll take coffee, not tea, in the morning.
Is that all you want to tell me? Nothing else?
Have I forgotten something? Well, remind me tomorrow.
You know, Eliza, you didn't seem a bit nervous all night.
Oh, I knew she'd win hands down after the first few minutes. It's the strain of all these months that's told on me. Thank God, it's over.
Well, I'm turning in. Good night, Eliza. Pleasant dream.
Eliza, I should think you'd be ready to remove all that finery and retire. I say, what the devil have I done with my slippers? I know I left them here this evening.
Your slippers. Here's one, and here's the other. Take your slippers, and may you never have a day's luck with them.
Eliza, why did you throw those slippers at me?
Because I wanted to smash your face, you selfish brute. I could scratch your eyes out.
No,
why didn't you leave me where you picked me out of in the gutter? What's to become of me now? What have you left me fit for? I'm nothing in all this. Not so much as them slippers.
Those slippers.
Those slippers. What difference does it make now? I've won your bet for you. And now...
You want to try, won't it?
Where am I to go to now? What am I fit for? What have you left me fit for?
Well, that's what's worrying you. Well, you won't have much difficulty settling yourself, so I hadn't quite realized you'd be going away.
You don't care. I know you don't care.
Now, Eliza, pick and I'll think of something you might marry, you know. You were what I'd call quite attractive. That is, to those marrying lions. I dare say my mother would find some chap or other who'd do you very well.
Yes, we were above that at the corner of Tottenham Court Road.
What do you mean?
I sold flowers. I didn't sell myself.
Oh, tush.
Now you've made a lady of me. I'm not fit to sell anything else.
Pious humbug. Now go to bed like a good girl and sleep it off. Have a little cry and say your prayers. That'll make you comfortable.
Yes, I heard your prayers. Thank God it's all over. Before you go up, do my clothes belong to me or to you and Colonel Pickering?
Well, now, what the devil would we do with them?
Oh, you might want them for the next girl you pick up to experiment on.
Oh, so that's the way you feel. Well, you ungrateful. I ought to wring your neck.
You'd like to hit me, wouldn't you, you darn?
You infamous creature. It is you who have hit me, wounded me to the heart, caused me to lose my temper, a thing that has hardly ever happened to me before. I'll say nothing more tonight.
except to confound my own folly for having lavished the pleasure of my regard and intimacy on a heartless gutter snipe. Good night.
I won't be trampled. I won't be talked down. I'll show him.
Now it is the next morning at Henry's mother's apartment.
Mother, thank heavens you're home. Look here, here's a confounded thing.
Yes, Henry, dear. Good morning, Henry Pickering. What is it?
Well, you see, Mrs. Higgins, Eliza's bolted.
You don't say.
Last night, her bed wasn't slept in. What are we to do?
Without, I'm afraid, Henry. Girl has a perfect right to go where she chooses.
But I can't find anything. I don't know what my appointment's for. I don't know what I've got. We simply have got to locate a pick. We've got to go and call the police.
Police? Oh, you've no more sense, either of you, than two children. Come into the drawing room. There's a gentleman there to see you. He's to have sent on from your house.
Oh, bother. I can't see anyone now. Who is it?
You'll see.
Yes, sir. What can I...
Good morning, Henry.
Why, Doolittle, it's you.
It's me, all right, Colonel. Though I can't say I blame you not knowing me in these togs. Look at this frock coat. Look at this silk hat. That's what you've done to me, Henry Higgins.
Aye, what I've done to you.
Ruined me. Destroyed me happiness. Tied me up and delivered me into the hands of middle-class morality.
You're mad. I gave you £5. After that, I had two conversations with you at half a crown an hour.
Did you or did you not write a letter to an old blighter in America that was given $5 million to found moral reform societies all over the world? And it wanted you to invent a universal language for him?
Ezra D. Wonderfeller. He's dead.
Yes, he's dead, and I'm done for. Didn't you write him that the most original moralist in England, to the best of your knowledge, was Alfred Doolittle, a common dustman?
Well, after you announced it, I remember making some silly joke with
that. That's your silly joke, and he leaves me £3,000 a year on condition I lecture for his Wonderfeller Moral Reform League. As often as they ask me, up to 6 times a year.
The devil it is.
It ain't the lecturing I mind. I'll lecture him blue in the face, I will. It's making a gentleman of me that I object to. I was happy. I was free. Now, I'm tied neck and heels. And everybody touches me for money. A year ago, I hadn't a relative in the world except two or three that wouldn't speak to me. Now I'm 50. I have to live for others and not for myself. That's middle-class morality.
Well, at least this solves the problem of Eliza's future. Her father can provide for her now.
Nonsense, he shan't provide for her. She doesn't belong to him. Doolittle, I paid you £5, sir.
Well, you certainly can't expect her to return to Winslow Street, Henry.
And why not?
Well, suppose I ring and let her explain it to you herself.
You mean to say you have her here, Mrs. Higgins? Oh, ripping!
Eliza came to me this morning. She passed the night partly walking about in a rage and partly trying to throw herself into the Thames. She told me of the brutal way you treated her, Henry.
I treated her!
She bashed my slippers at my head.
I should have thrown the fire tongs at you. Yesterday, when the great day of trial came and she did this wonderful thing for you, you didn't thank her, or pet her, or admire her, or tell her how splendid she'd been?
I didn't make any pretty speeches to her, if that's what you mean. No.
Mr. Doolittle, would you be good enough to step out on the balcony for just a moment until she's made up with these?
As you wish, lady. Anything to help Henry to keep her off my hands.
Perhaps you were a bit thoughtless, Mrs. Higgins. Is she angry?
She says she's quite willing to meet you on friendly terms and to let bygones be bygones.
Oh, is she by George?
Did you want me, Mrs. Higgins?
Eliza, dear.
Eliza?
How do you do, Professor Higgins? Are you quite well?
Am I?
So glad to see you again, Colonel Pickering. Quite chilly this morning, isn't it?
How dare you try this game on me? I created her out of the squashed cabbage leaves of Covent Garden, and now she pretends to play the lady with me. Now, come on, Eliza, don't be a fool.
Very nicely put indeed, Henry. No woman could resist such an invitation.
Colonel Pickering, I'm only a squashed cabbage leaf, but I owe so much to you that I should be very unhappy if you forgot me. Do you know what began my real education?
What?
You're calling me Miss Doolittle that day when I first came to Wimpole Street. I should like you to call me Eliza now, if you would.
Thank you, Eliza.
And I should like Professor Higgins to call me Miss Doolittle.
please don't grind your teeth, Henry.
By George, I say let her go. Let her find out how she can get along without us. She'll relapse into the gutter in 3 weeks without me at her elbow.
I don't believe I could utter one of the old sounds again. Last night, while I was wandering about, a girl spoke to me. I tried to get back into the old way with her, but it was no use. I've forgotten my own language.
May I come in now, ma'am? Victory!
Now, Wiggins, can you blame the girl?
Don't look at me like that, Eliza. These clothes ain't my fault. I've come into some money.
Well, you must have touched a millionaire this time, Dad.
I have. But I've dressed up for something special today. Your stepmother is going to marry me.
You're going to let yourself down to marry that low, common woman?
That's St. George's, Hanover Square. Won't you come and see me turned off, Eliza?
I'm getting excited for my phone.
Don't be afraid. She never comes. She never comes to words with anyone now, poor woman. Middle-class morality has claimed another victim. Respectability has broke all the spirit out of her. It would be a tremendous compliment if you all came.
Oh, well. Just to show there's no ill feeling, Dad.
Eliza, I wish to speak to you for a moment.
You can come in the brougham with me, Eliza. Colonel Pickering will go on with the bridegroom. Excuse me while I order the carriage.
Bridegroom. What a word. Well, so long, Henry.
Good luck, old man.
See you in St. George's, Eliza.
Well, Eliza, you've had a bit of your own back, as you call it. Now, are you going to be reasonable?
You want me back only to pick up your slippers and put up with your tempers and fetch and carry for you.
If you come back, I shall treat you just as I've always treated you. My manners are no different from Colonel Pickering's.
Oh, that's not true. He treats a flower girl as if she was a duchess.
And I treat a duchess as if she were a flower girl. All right, Eliza, I can do without you. I can do without anybody. I have my own soul, my own spark of divine fire. But I shall miss you, Eliza. I've grown accustomed to your voice and appearance. I like them, rather.
Well, you have both of them on your gramophone and in your book of photographs. When you feel lonely without me, you can turn the machine on. Got no feelings to hurt.
Eliza, you're an idiot. What is it you want? Do you want me to be infatuated with your spirit?
No, that isn't what I want. I've always had chaps who wanted me that way. Freddie Hill writes me twice and three times a day. Sheets and sheets.
Insolent puppy, you had no right to encourage him. I won't have my masterpiece thrown away on a Freddie. If you dare take one step in
I want a little kindness. I know I'm a common, ignorant girl and you a book-learned gentleman, but I'm not dirt under your feet. What I done, did, was not for the dresses and the taxes. I did it because we were pleasant together, and I came to care for you. Not to want you to make love to me and not forgetting the difference between us, but more friendly like.
Well, if you can't stand the coldness of my sort of life, go back to the gutter. It's real, it's warm, it's violent.
That's no answer to give me.
If you can't appreciate what you've got, you'd better get what you can appreciate. Marry some sentimental hog or other with lots of money. And a thick pair of lips to kiss you with and a thick pair of boots to kick you with.
Oh, I can't talk to you. You turn everything against me. You know very well I can't go back to the gutter, as you call it. You think I've nowhere else to go but father's. But don't you be too sure you have me under your feet to be trampled on and talked down. I can be independent of you. Yes. I know what I'll do. I'll go and be a teacher.
What do you teach them?
What you taught me, I'll teach phonetics.
You try that, and I'll wring your neck.
Oh, what do I care? What a fool I was not to think of it before. You can't take away the knowledge you gave me. You said I had a finer ear than you, and I can be civil and kind to people, which is more than you can. Aha! That's young Anne Regan's, it is.
You impudent hussy, by George, Eliza. I said I'd make a woman of you, and I have. 5 minutes ago, you were like a millstone around my neck. Now you're a tower of strength. I'd like you like
this. Yeah, you turn round and make up to me now that I'm not afraid of you and can do without you. I'm going to the carriage. Are you coming?
Certainly not. To a wedding.
Very well, then, Professor. I shall not see you again. Goodbye.
Oh, by the way, Eliza, on your way home, buy me a pair of reindeer gloves, number 8. You can choose the color.
Buy them yourself.
Won't see me again.
Number 8s are too small for you. If you want them lined, you'll need number 9s.
you'll need number nines.
Nine?
Nine.
Nine.
United States Armed Forces Radio Service.